Welcome, welcome to Pocketoid episode 99.
We did it.
We made it.
We made it to episode 99.
We did 99 of these.
You listened to this 99 times.
One more, and you get an extra life. Video games, am I right? I am your lovely boy co-host, Addison. You can follow me on Twitter at Addison_L. And with me, as always, is my good boy,
Jordan/Jackal27.
Yep. You can follow him on Twitter at Jackal27. You can follow the show at Pocketoid. I almost said at Twitter. Please just
check us out at Twitter.
Go block at Twitter on your Twitter account.
And block the whole website from your browser.
Elon Musk, block Donald Trump, block them all.
Just block it all. Block all of it out.
Block it all of it.
Just Twitter. Turn off your computer.
Twitter, just block it.
Just block it. Don't go.
Anyways, we did 99 of these.
Yeah.
And that means we got one more.
Yep. Means the next one is number 100.
Yeah.
We got, it's so crazy.
Gonna have a full stack.
And I know it's been, technically, if we'd been on time, because the show's been going for a long time, we would have hit 100 a long time ago. But hey, we still did 100 episodes of this dang show.
Well, and also technically, we've done over 100 because we had retrospective episodes and side things.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Whatever. So, yeah.
Anyways, we are very happy to announce that we have had some very special plans in the works for episode 100. It feels wrong even saying it out loud.
It really does. If we say it, it's supposed to happen, and that's going to be...
we started Pocketoid because we both were listening to Retro Force Go, and we really, really liked that podcast a lot, and it inspired us to make one of our own.
And if you've never listened to Retro Force Go, I know a lot of people who listen are not, Destructoid veterans anymore, but it was an old podcast on Destructoid.com. With a bunch of the editors and writers of Detoid, and they just talked about the video games that they loved. And it feels crazy to me because that show only went for 100 episodes.
Yeah, and it's and I mean that show is still it still stands up. Like you can just go back and listen to it if you haven't listened to it before because they're talking about old games. They're old now.
Yep, I listened to their Konami episode just last week, and I was like, wow, I remember everything from this episode. This is
crazy. It was like all old video games, but I remember they also had an episode that was just all about the Muppets.
Yeah,
which was really good. I really appreciated that a lot.
And they'd always review every WiiWare game and every Virtual Console release every week.
Which, if they were doing that nowadays, how?
Yeah, that was what was crazy
to
me. There's
so many.
Whenever I went back and listened, it was like they reviewed every Xbox Digital title, every WiiWare game, and every Virtual Console game, and every week there'd only be like two.
Yeah,
which is just nuts to think about.
Anyways. So, like I said, we started doing Pocketoid because of Retro Force Go.
Yep.
And, they stopped after 100 episodes, and they all kind of went their own separate ways. Mm-hmm. They're all in, doing different things these days. But we reached out to all of them, and we're going for episode 100 to have a Retro Force Go reunion show.
Yep, and we're going to talk about the Game Boy, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, how they did their episodes was they would pick a topic or pick a certain publisher or pick a game series, and then they would just kind of unpack their memories of it. And so for us, we thought, hey, we've never actually done a straight-up Game Boy episode. I think, isn't the Game Boy's, release, anniversary coming up next year, or...
That sounds right.
Or, at the end of this year or something? Anyway, I remember hearing that.
Yeah, it may have already actually hit, because, maybe. I mean... Pokemon just turned 20, so...
Yeah, something like that. And so I was like...
In the U.S., it just turned 20.
I was like, let's do a Game Boy episode, and Retro RF Go, they never did a Game Boy episode. And I know a few people on there have, it's just so weird to talk about, too, because I was listening to that show in high school in, 2007.
Yeah.
And they were all talking about the games they played as kids, and I felt like, oh, man, I'm so young, and now I'm 30, and they're all coming on here, and I'm going to be like, oh, my gosh. Because I don't remember the first Game Boy, when it released, but they all definitely will. And I don't know, it's so cool. And they haven't recorded a show together or gotten back together since 2009, I think.
Yeah.
So, this is really freaking cool.
I'm
so excited.
I feel we're very lucky.
Yes.
And it's super cool that, they're all taking the time to do this.
Yep.
So, if you're not familiar with them,
We got Colette Bennett
coming.
We got Topher Cantler showing up. We have Stella. I don't remember Stella's Wong. Last name. Stella Wong, yes. Yeah. We have Stella coming. And then I think we just confirmed Dyson.
Dyson,
as well.
Yeah.
Dyson's also coming. And
hopefully we'll have a something from something Chad.
No promises. Chad Kinselmo is the hardest one because he now lives within Reggie's meaty grasp. And, and it's hard for him to break free because he is he's our Nintendo boy.
And we don't want him to risk his job in any way for our silly show.
Yeah.
Like, we love Chad. Everyone that is coming to do the show loves Chad. Anyone that has ever met Chad loves Chad.
Yep.
But, you know, again, we...
He worked for Nintendo now, so it's kind of hard.
He said that he would try and, you know, either, you know, drop him to just say hi, or, you know, maybe we can have a pre-recorded thing or something.
Yep.
But, or, like, something that we can read from him.
Or maybe we'll just have a little obituary section where we...
Chad will be represented in some way.
Yes.
But, yeah, so next episode is going to be about the Game Boy and have... the cast of Retro Force Go.
Yep, that's so freaking bonkers.
Yeah.
And, like, I know for a while we were talking about it, and we were just sort of like, man, wouldn't it be crazy if... I think we might even mentioned it, like, very in passing on the show at one point. Like, what if we were able to do that? And now it's sort of like, oh, we're gonna, like, freaking do it. And, I don't know, it's just bizarre to me.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It hadn't really, like, got to me until, like, making this announcement just now, and, like, now I'm like... Oh yeah, this is actually happening, and now I'm very nervous.
Yeah, same. but they're all really chill, though, and we talked to them on Twitter and stuff, and so I don't think it's going to be... If we had done this when the show first started, I would have been much, much more nervous. But now I feel like we're a little more connected with them than we were back then. And also, like, it'll be cool. Those of you that haven't listened to Retro Force Go, like we said, if you just Google it, there's a whole internet archive of every episode, and all those episodes still hold up, and you can go check those out.
And it's just 100 episodes, so it's not like... anything like too major to take on, and I don't know if any of them are on any podcast these days.
I don't think so. I know Jim Sterling was on a couple episodes. I know that I can't want to say Tron Knotts. Oh my gosh, what's
Jonathan
wrong with
Holmes.
Me? Jonathan Holmes was on a few episodes as well, but I don't know. And they did kind of a continuation show that was but wasn't Retro Force Go afterwards that Jonathan Holmes hosted. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if any of them specifically are on any podcasts these days.
Yeah, I think maybe I think Colette and Topher might be.
Really?
But I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm so excited, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun.
Freaking hyped. And I can't wait to pull out a bunch of obscure references from that show and just embarrass myself completely while they're on here.
Yeah, I should spend this next week just listening to episodes.
That's exactly what I'm going to be doing. So, but anyway, I kind of want to set it up. I kind of want to set the episode up sort of like a Retro Force Go episode. So I think I'm going to just kind of, listen to the episodes and then, like, take some notes and figure out, okay, how did they structure this and what are some things, some topics we should make sure and hit or some talking points that we should make sure and cover. Because I'd love to, like, I mean, the Game Boy obviously was like around forever, and if we wind up talking about the Game Boy Color or anything as well, like, you could go even further. So
I have a feeling next episode will, you know, maybe be decently longer than, but also don't know if any of them are gonna have any time commitments or anything. So
we'll see. We'll figure that out this week. All you guys need to know is that's what's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm, like, so terrified now that news
also
is just out there.
when you're hearing this, maybe think of, like, some questions that you might want to
submit. Yes, absolutely. Be thinking of some questions about the Game Boy, certain games that you love. We'd also love to hear from you guys, not just, like, questions, but also, like, just come onto Twitter and tell us, like, dude, this is my favorite, like, what
or
are some of your,
like,
favorite Game Boy games?
Like, or just Game Boy-related memories.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, you know, you have a really special memory of going to the Grand Canyon and not giving a crap because you're playing Pokemon in the backseat or something.
Wait, was that you?
Probably.
At some point.
I don't know if that exact scenario happened, but, like, very, very similar ones definitely did.
I'm sure I'm going to bring this up in the next episode too, but one of my very vivid memories of the Game Boy is whenever you're riding in the back seat as a kid at nighttime and waiting for the car behind you to get close enough that you could use their headlights to see your Game Boy because there was no backlight.
You didn't have one of those worm lights?
I did, but man, those were trash. They, like, they were awful.
It was better than nothing, though.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get into this week's stuff, though.
Yeah. All right. So Jordan, what have you been playing?
Oh, a lot of good things, actually. So it's Halloween time, so I'll hit a couple of those things first. I have dived fully back into Shin Megami Tensei 4, which I seem to do every Halloween and then stop immediately when Halloween's over. And I still haven't finished that game yet after like 5 years. but hey, there's some dark stuff in that game, and the story is very good, and I've been enjoying that game a lot. And then I've also been playing some Castlevania a little bit here and there, because the new Netflix, or the season two of the Netflix series came out, and I was watching that, and I like it a lot better than the first season, actually.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, and I think I like it because it just feels a lot more like Castlevania, and they have fun little Easter eggs and references, and more types of monsters. Like, I felt like in the first season, it was just like one type of monster the whole time.
Yeah.
And so as I was watching, I was like, oh man, that's cool. Now I want to play Castlevania. And so I've been playing some Castlevania Rondo of Blood a little bit. I'm trying to think if there have been any other Halloween things.
Oh, did you buy that double pack on PS4?
I did not.
No.
I just didn't feel the need to.
What are you playing Rondo of Blood on?
On my PSP. Or on my Vita, I mean. Okay. On the Dracula X collection. So it's a, I have the Dracula X collection, and I'm like, that has, like, I own Symphony of the Night on PlayStation and on my Vita and emulated.
Yeah.
And then Rondo of Blood I've got on my Vita, my Wii, and like emulated as well. Yeah. So I just don't feel a need to buy it.
I've been wanting to get my Vita back out, and I might do that tonight. Get my Vita charged up and kind of go back and forth between some Persona and Castlevania.
Yeah, boy. If that collection was on the Switch, I'd probably consider it, but I also hear it's super bare bones.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like,
I think it'll come to the Switch.
They really just need to do a collection of like all of it. They need to package all the, like, I mean, do it like Mega Man did even. Package all the NES games, package all the 16-bit games, you know.
Yeah.
You could probably do one that was like all NES and arcade, in the arcade games, and then one that was like from Super Nintendo to like PlayStation. I think that would be, I'd buy both of those packs like any day. But yeah, just like, just those two games. And also they, I think they might have changed some stuff. Like I've heard they've changed like the voiceovers and things. And I'm hey, you can't do that. It's like, that's not Symphony of the Night if it's, if it doesn't have the what is a man the, like speech, but you know, whatever, that's fine. But yeah, I've considered it, but maybe not. If you're enjoying it though, let me know, because I don't really know how good that collection is. I just hear it's kind of bare bones. So yeah, I've been playing those. And then I guess I'll just talk about review stuff, because
let's
dive into it. So first game I want to talk about is one called Candies and Curses. And this was just released from Crescent Moon Games, and it's on mobile. It's a mobile game, and it's the first mobile game that I've downloaded in a very, very long time. So it's by Taco Boy Studios, and well, when I say taco, it's like takoyaki, not like tacos. Taco Boy Studios, and it's published by Crescent Moon Games. And Candies and Curses is, it feels like an old school arcade game, kind of. It runs in portrait mode, which, dude, okay, listen, mobile developers, make your games in portrait mode. If I can play it one-handed, like, it's, I just love that so much. And it seems like most games are like that now, but most mobile games are trash. This one's not trash. It's great. It's in, like, an action arcade game that controls and feels perfect on your cell phone, and it's awesome. It's completely free with ads, but you can pay, I think, $5 to remove the ads. And they have, you know, some microtransactions you can buy, but you don't have to, you know, pay for any of that. It's, cause I don't think the game is incredibly grindy. I mean, you can obviously, you know, it could be, but with how difficult the game is, it's like the only thing that you would be paying money for is to basically break the game. You know, it's not like you have to, you know, buy any of their little currencies or anything. You can just play the game regular. But it plays fine with ads too, I think. I just bought it because I was like, wow, I'm really, really enjoying this game and I want to give them my money. But it's this gorgeous game that has this like beautiful pixel art, and you play as this girl, I think her name's Molly, and she gets locked inside of a haunted mansion, and then there's a bunch of ghosts and you gotta kill the ghosts. There it is. And once you kill enough enemies, then a boss shows up and you fight the boss. And I think there are six stages and a final boss, if I remember correctly.
Is there a goo form of Molly?
No. There's no Guigi. There's no Guali.
Guali.
no, there's not.
Luigi.
And it is, yeah, it is single player only. But you can get a dog companion to come and fight with you. I haven't gotten him yet, but I've seen video of him.
Can you get a goo dog?
I don't think so. I don't know. Man, now I just remember that ghost dog in Luigi's Mansion, though, and he's a very good boy.
It's a very good dog.
It's a very cute dog.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like the way it controls is Molly will run automatically whichever direction she's facing, and each level, you know, it's portrait mode, and so, which means, you know, your phone's straight up and down. Each level has different, you know, levels of the mansion, and you can jump between floors of the mansion. And so she'll run automatically in whatever direction she's facing. You can swipe left or right to turn her left and right, and you can swipe up and down to make her hop to the next floor. And so it controls really well because she automatically just kind of kills whatever's in front of her with her flashlight. Kind of like
just a old classic arcade game.
Mm-hmm. It feels just like an arcade game. And the if you, Do you ever play the game Slayin?
I remember you reviewing it. Mm-hmm. I think I played it.
It plays a lot like Slayin, but with different levels that you can jump through. And so if you ever played that game, it's a lot of fun, and this one I think is even better. And so you can, yeah, you can you start off with just a little flashlight that has just like a little bit of light in front of you, but then you can buy other weapons. Like you can buy a flashlight that generates flames that'll bounce around the room and hurt enemies. You can buy lanterns that will like make a spiral of lights kind of orbit around you to attack enemies. You can buy all kinds of weapons, and then you can also equip those with different charms that will do things like give you extra hearts or like make you take less damage from fire or make you, you know, do just different things. And yeah, there's you can you know get you can as you level up, like as you you know gain experience and keep fighting more ghosts, you'll gain like more hearts. But if you were good enough, you could beat the game from your very first play. But obviously, you're not going to do that because it's very challenging. And yeah, it's just an awesome, amazing little spooky mobile game that's just a fun arcade time. It has super cute graphics, and so yeah, you guys should definitely definitely download it because it's like I don't know why you wouldn't. It's just totally free. It's great. You don't have to play it, but if you, yeah, I'm going to say it's essential. I think everybody should have this game. It's a lot of fun.
I downloaded it as soon as you started talking about it.
Oh, is it on Android as well?
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure about that, but I knew it was on iOS, so yep, you should get it. It's dope. I have another game to review. Should I review that too?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that.
Okay, cool. So, other game I want to talk about is called Wandersong, and I'm sure most people have probably heard about this. It's been getting a lot of hype on the Switch eShop. But it is developed by my good Twitter boy, Greg Labanov. He is awesome, and I've actually been playing his games since like 2006 or 7. He's just been releasing free games online, and every game he's ever made has been super memorable to me for some reason. Like Assassin Blue was an old freeware game that I loved, and he also made one called Doubloon, which was one of the first like indie RPGs I ever played. It was like a pirate RPG, and then he made one called Phantasmaburbia, which was a ghost hunting earthbound like RPG that I played back in like 2013.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
It's cool. It is cool. I love Phantasmaburbia. It's dope. But he just released his game Wandersong that he's been working on for a long, long time. And man, let me tell you, this game is great and just super wholesome and super sweet. So in this game, you play as a little bard in this world where basically, a god comes to you and says, hey, it's time to restart the world. We're going to destroy everything. And then the bard's like, hey, no, don't do that. And they're like, well, sorry, that's just how it is. And so he's like, well, I'm gonna try and stop this somehow. And everybody expects him, you know, when he shows up in town to tell everybody about it, there's ghosts that are haunting the town. And no one can do anything about it. They're trying to fight them with axes. They're trying to beat them up. They're trying to, you know, do all the normal video game things that you would do to stop a bunch of ghosts. But all he can do is sing. But it works. And so it's basically a game about exploring alternative ways to solve problems in video games. Whereas most video games are about swinging a sword or attacking things, all that this dude can do is sing. And the way that you sing is you use the right analog stick to sort of hit different notes in this little, you know, circular menu. And each note corresponds with a different color, and so you'll find different puzzles or different platforming challenges in the game. But, you know, it'll give you clues based on, oh, there's this little platform down there that's a purple color. Maybe if I hit this purple note, then I'll know, you know, then it'll make it react somehow, and I'll figure out what I need to do to get past this part. And it has really, really super funny dialogue, lovable characters. It's just great, and it's super wholesome, and it'll make you feel everything.
So how does, like, the mechanic work for singing at the ghosts? Like, how do you take care of, like you said, that you find all these alternative...
It's so hard to explain.
...methods. I kind of know.
If you watch, like, a GIF, you'll be like, oh, that's how that works. But, like, talking about it on a podcast is hard to do. It's just odd.
It seemed like, from what I recall, you are just kind of matching the song
in some sections. Yeah, it everything in this game is very scripted. It's very story driven, it's very dialogue driven. So there will be parts that play kind of like a rhythm game where it's, you know, you're communicating with someone but they're being like, you know, they're hitting certain notes and then you have to you know, hit those notes at the right time. There'll be other times where it's more of like a Simon Says thing, where they'll go boom, doom, 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 and with a certain number of colors, and you have to hit those corresponding colors in the same rhythm.
Yeah, because it seems like it starts off with, like, here's the exact same wheel that you have, and then I've seen others where it's like, here's just, like, the color, and, like, others where it's like, here's, like, a faint outline of, like, like, it is in this general area, and you have to do your best to match it.
Absolutely, yeah. And so it does that a lot, and then there's also, like, in the second chapter, you have to, like, get a band together, and you have to kind of convince each of the members how, or why should they should be in this band, and each of them has their own different problems. And so each of their instruments has a different sort of mini game that plays very similar, but a different way of kind of jamming with your control scheme. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's a very unique game.
It's super unique, and it's a lot of fun, and I think that its strongest point is its characters and the writing and just the experience overall. It also has this really beautiful kind of cutout paper art style.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
And the animations are really funny.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can do dances, too. The dances are mostly just for fun. They don't tend to come into the gameplay as much, but they're hilarious and adorable. And there's so much, like, attention to detail in this game, too. Like, so many little moments that are just so fun and amazing. Like, I'm hesitant to even talk about some of them because they're just so great to experience.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of don't want you to, because I'm going to play this game, and I'd rather just experience them.
Yeah, it's just funny, and it's super sweet and wholesome, too. That's the thing I love about it. It has this overall narrative of, like, you can fix the world's problems, like, you can change things, like, just being who you are. That's sort of the central driving narrative of the game. And even if people are like, no, that's not going to work, or we need to do this instead, or whatever, like, if you'll just keep expanding the thing that you can do, like, you can, you know, contribute in your own way. And, like, that's really awesome to me.
I think Mr. Rogers would approve of this.
Yes.
Game.
Yeah. Yes, he definitely would. It's fantastic.
I really like that on your Switch right now, you've got it right next to Battle Chef Brigade.
Yeah.
It's a nice little pairing there.
Yes. And I bought them both at the same time, actually. And they're just like, it's like a double whammy of feel good.
Yeah.
Wholesome definitely. Feels. It's great. I want to say the music as well. I mean, obviously, it's a very musical game, but the music is so good. It's so great. And even when you're just running around a village, or exploring a forest or whatever, you can just sing for fun, and the music will shift to match, like, whatever notes you're singing. And so, I don't know, it just feels good. It just feels good to play. It's not really like an action game. It's not really like a point-and-click adventure. It's not really an RPG. It's not really a rhythm game. It's sort of just a mashup.
Some little
kind of thing. It's odd, it's great.
I feel like I would call it, like, a rhythm adventure game.
Yeah, but it's also, like, yeah, I'd say musical adventure game. That's what I would say. Yeah. It's not even really a rhythm game. It's just like...
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
It's like a musical adventure. It's like an adventure game where you use music to interact with the world. But there's, like, also platforming sections, and there's also, you know, I don't want to say fetch quests, but times where you have to go over here and solve this thing so you can access this area and different things like that. It's just, it's excellent. I love it. You need to buy it. It's definitely an essential. It absolutely is an essential.
Yeah.
Every Switch owner should have this game. Every human being should play it. It's great.
I have a feeling I'll pick it up by the end of the year.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it. There's two eShop games that I'm just still really, really, really wanting right now, and it's Wondersong and The Missing.
Oh, yeah. The Missing. I need to look more into that. But you keep talking about it, and I keep hearing good things. So, Wondersong also has an extremely good Switch icon as well. The art
is
great.
It very much does.
But
all right. Anyway, anything else?
Oh, no. I'm trying to look through my notes really quick. One of my notes is just perfect. So, yeah, there you go. It's just perfect. Yep, all that's right. What have you been playing, Addison? Those are all of mine. Tell me about yours.
I haven't played a ton this week. I picked up the hot, new, highly anticipated title that everyone's been talking about for just seemingly this whole year. Everybody's been waiting for it to come out.
Windjammers.
Windjammers, yeah. No, Yoku's Island Express.
Oh!
I picked up Yoku's Island Express this morning. It's currently, at the time of recording... Hopefully this will still be true when you hear this, but it was on sale for like 40 or 50% off. So
oh, wow.
I got it for like $11.
There's a lot of good sales going on in the eShop right now. There's a ton of them.
I will probably review it next week.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well,
We're not doing
in 2 weeks.
Next week, but yeah.
But I'm really, really liking it. If you're not familiar with it, it's a, like, pinball adventure game. You're, like, this little beetle, and you come to this island, and you're the new mailman, basically.
Sweet. And
so, but, like, there's all of these little paddles throughout the island, and blue ones will, you can hit with your left trigger, and orange ones you can hit with your right trigger, and then some of them will be blue and orange, so either one will do it, and you can just kind of, the beetle's pushing this, like, ball around, mm-hmm. and you can just knock yourself around and, like, solve puzzles and, like, you know, traverse through these paddles, and it's, so far, it's a blast, and I'm pretty sure I'm already close to halfway done with it.
Jeez. You've only had it for like a day, which is crazy.
I've had it since around 10, 11 a.m. today. It's very, very good. I'll talk about that more in the future. I also picked up Red Dead Redemption 2.
Dope.
How's
that? Oh no.
I don't know.
You don't know how it is?
I don't know.
That's kind of, that's the vibe I've gotten from everyone I've talked to who's been playing that game.
I feel like most people are just head over heels in love with it.
I have not heard that personally.
I feel like when I play it, I'm like, this game is impressive and is gorgeous, but it just does so many things that I'm just like, why do you implement it this way?
Mm.
And like, why does this do this? And like, I've seen a bunch of bugs.
Mm.
And the main thing that I've taken away from it is I want to play more Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how. I feel like Breath of the Wild couldn't have influenced this game that much because mm-hmm. it's been in development forever. And like, they kept Breath of the Wild pretty secret. And,
yeah.
But playing it, like, oh, this is a very similar mechanic that is in Breath of the Wild, except Breath of the Wild does it a lot better.
Mm.
Like, there's, like, a cooking mechanic, and, like, it's kind of confusing and, like, takes way too long.
Yeah, that's what I was listening to Jim Sterling give his impressions on YouTube, because it just popped in my recommendations the other day. And that's what he said. He was like, I don't even like to hunt anymore because it's like, you have to do this to start the fire. You have to do this. You have to hit the animal right in the right spot and make sure you don't damage this part of
it. Like, they make it too realistic.
Yeah.
Like, all right, cool. If I wanted to be, like, a realistic, real-life cowboy, I would just move to Montana and do it myself. Like, that's not how it was in the first Red Dead Redemption. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, I think they're trying to be too realistic with a lot of things in this game. Like, I was hunting and, like, I got, like, one or two animals and it was like, oh, you don't have room. You can't carry anymore. I'm like, well, I don't want to, like, it already takes forever to get from one place to another. I don't want to ride my horse back to camp and then deposit all this and then come back. And I'm just like, if you're going to, you know, make it realistic like that, then don't also make the, like, day-night cycle, like, a video game day-night cycle
mm-hmm.
where it's like, okay, it's nighttime, I can't do anything.
There's a reason you don't poop in video games.
Yes.
And the reason is because pooping is annoying and very inconvenient and weird and gross.
Yeah.
And when you make a video game too realistic, I don't know, when that's your goal, your only goal is like, let's make this as realistic as possible, there's a point when it can sap some of the fun out. Like, you need to make it feel like what you think being a cowboy is like,
and
not necessarily like being a real cowboy.
And they also, like, in this one, like, you're forced into a lot of, like, bad acts and, like, criminal mm-hmm. things. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. I want to be the good cowboy. And then you give me choices to be good, but then I have to go and, like, do these bad things.
Yep.
And, like, it really creates a very conflicting, weird character.
Like, what's the point in a morality system if you're just going to force me to be bad anyway? Yeah.
And then when I do try to do, like, good things, a lot of times it's very confusing. I'm like, I don't understand if I did this right.
Mm.
Or I'll just be like, oh, whoops, I did something bad because this isn't very clear. You have to, like, pick up your hat.
Mm.
Your hat gets knocked off a lot.
Wait, what?
What a fun thing.
Really?
Yeah, and then, like, there's also, like, other, like, things that just happen in that game where I'm like,
so frustrating.
You guys are going for realism, but yo, like, a horse isn't going to just run head on into a tree. Like, horses aren't that stupid. But the storytelling is really, really good.
That's the thing. It's like, if you want to make a movie, make a movie.
Yeah.
That's always my thing.
But, like, there's a way to do this, and it's just, I don't know. Like, I'm not loving it. And I'm hoping, like, after another 4, because this 10 hours seems to be, like, the mark where people are like, okay, yeah, now. Which, also, it shouldn't.
No.
I shouldn't have to spend 10 hours on a game before I like it.
No.
But, I mean, everyone else's, like, hype on it is, and I spent the money, so I'm going to keep playing it and just see.
I remember when people were panning video games back in, like, 2003 because it was an hour until you got to fight your first battle, you know, or something like that. It'd be like, oh, it's an hour until this, and now I just think about all these games where it's like, oh, it gets fun after 10, 15 hours. I'm like, what? No, that's not, I have just a life to live.
I just want to say 2 more things, and then I'm going to move on. One is, why in the year 2018 am I still having to tap X a whole bunch to run? Like, there's so many video games that do running and
because it's realistic,
well,
man. It's,
and
because like, your stamina bar's in real life that way, see?
Oh, and then, okay, I said it. Oh, I was going to say 2 more. Whoops, it turned into 3. There's so many meters.
Really?
You have 2 different health meters and, like, 2 different stamina.
What?
You have like, your current health, current stamina, and then your core of stamina and health. And certain items heal different ones, but it's not... It's really...
Remember how you
it
could...
It seems really confusing,
remember how you could easily
on,
play Breath of the Wild without the HUD? Like, you could just turn it off and be
it's
fine?
It's just... it's frustrating. I honestly can't think of a game that's disappointed me more this year.
That sucks.
It's just because I just had these expectations and had a vision of what this game would be like, and it was not at all what I was expecting. I have had fun. There's been missions that I've played that I thought were, like, really cool and, like interesting. I think it's worth talking about because, like, the chances are high that it's relative to whoever's listening to this interests. However, we gotta not talk about it anymore. I'm also played a game at the game night that I had recently that we talked about last episode, and it is Jackbox Party Pack 5.
Oh yeah,
there's a new Jackbox Party Pack out. I believe it's $25.
Is
I want to say. I think
I don't remember.
I can't remember if it's $25 or $30.
They usually are $25. What's
well, I think it launched with, like, a sale, so I think it ended up being, like, $23 or something. If you're not familiar with the Jackbox games, they are a party game, and you just put it on your screen, and it will have players use their phone or tablet, and you go to a website, and you put in a code, and then you use your device to input, like, answers to questions and stuff that it will give you on the screen.
It is $30,
okay. I don't know if it's still on sale, but when I bought it, it was, like, 15% off or something. Yeah, so you use your device to input answers for questions. Some of the games are based around trivia. Some of them are just like, hey, make up a funny joke. Sometimes you have to draw something. But they're all very humorous, and it's really, really fun to play with a group. Last year's Party Pack 4 was not the best.
No. Especially compared to 3, which is probably still the best. 3
is probably still the best.
It's awesome. Everything in 3 is a winner, every single game. Party Pack 4, there was maybe one that was fun, even?
Yeah, one or two.
And even then, like, that, I don't even think those reached any of the games in 3. But 5 is a lot of fun. 5 has some solid games. Not all of them are, you know, total winners, but 5 is really good.
Yeah.
From what we played, anyway.
I definitely like 5 much better than 4, and of all the Jackbox packs I've played, 5 is probably a close second now. 3 is still very, very, very good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kind of quickly go through the 5 different games that are on here. What? What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing. I'm remembering my favorite game on here, and all the stuff, all the
I'm not sure which one is your favorite. I think I know which one's your favorite. Yeah, you
probably can guess.
All right, so the first one is just called Madverse.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish
Madverse City.
Is it called Madverse City?
That's what it shows on
here. Okay, because I think on the eShop it just called it Madverse. Okay, yeah, Madverse City. That is a game where robots have rap battles.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of plays like a part of it will play like, what are those called? Mad Lib.
Yeah.
And so it'll start off and be like, all right, give me like a plural noun. And then it'll take that and want you to come up with a rhyme
mm-hmm.
to finish like a line that they came up with incorporating that word. So like, you say like limes, and it'll be like, you know, I've got style, I've got limes, and yep. then you like fill it in with like a line that you come up with.
Yeah.
And then everybody will kind of like vote on like which robot rap the best.
And what's cool is as on the TV, the two raps are competing. And it's that one's actually surprised me because it's really hard to not only find a way to dynamically make these two players go up against each other, but to find a way to help people rhyme words that aren't very good at it, you know? And it does it really well. But what's cool is as the robots on screen, the two robots, which represent two different players, you know, rhymes are going against each other. The other players can like clap or boo.
Like it's very much like, yeah, it's very much like, you know, you see like those videos online where people are like, oh
yeah,
or just like no that's bad.
Yep.
And then so you can also get like bonuses from people like, you know, giving you like some hype or boos. Mm-hmm. So
my only issue with that one was like if there were several instances where people just didn't have time to enter in a rhyme, like it seemed like it went really fast, and maybe it's because it's just hard to come up with rhyming words.
I think it just depends on the person.
Yeah,
like they give you like an out, but then it usually doesn't rhyme.
Mm-mm.
And then in between, like if you have some extra time and you're waiting on other people, you can like press buttons and then like stuff in the background will happen. Like a building will collapse if you press that button enough times, or like some like a little goofy news thing will come across a ticker. But I really, really like Madverse City.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I don't know which one of these games is my favorite, but that one's up there.
Yeah,
I like
it's
a lot.
It doesn't quite hit everyone though. Like I can't see myself playing that one with like Mitzi's parents, you know?
Yeah, but so like Jason, my buddy Jason did not like Madverse City.
Yeah,
but like other like
I loved it.
My friend Brandon and like Jordan, like we loved it.
Yeah.
So it's maybe not gonna be your cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a blast though.
Yeah.
Then there's one called Split the Room, which
all right.
I'm trying to. That one I remember being kind of confusing. It presents itself with like a cat host, and it's very Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically are trying to come up with as even of a split as you can, if I remember.
Yeah, correctly. You're trying to make, because it'll ask you a thing, and if I'm trying to remember,
it starts off as a Mad Libs thing,
and you're like, trying to make it divisive. You're trying to make the room. You're trying to make people vote one way or the other.
Yeah, like, would you do this?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's like a would you rather type of game.
Yeah.
But you want it to be really divisive. You don't want it to be like, would you rather, kiss a pumpy or a puppy or poop nails? You know,
yeah.
Obviously,
yeah,
you know,
it's like, would you rather, you know, eat pizza with bugs on it mm-hmm. or drink Kool-Aid with slime in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you want to make it divisive as
yeah,
divisive
so, like,
possible.
People would be like, no, it would be better to do this because mm-hmm. you could do that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I would like to play it some more.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel like you need to get like two or three rounds on there to figure out how to play it.
Yeah, that's how like a lot of the Jackbox games can be.
Yeah.
Because that one was kind of confusing to me the first couple times I played it. But it's definitely, even that like is so much better than a lot of the ones on Party Pack 4.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Then there's You Don't Know Jack. I forgot there was like a subtitle to it, you know, mm-hmm. No Jack, like Full Assault or something like
yeah.
that. So these games, started from a trivia game, like back in the like late 90s mm-hmm. called You Don't Know Jack. And then, so they, for this one, made a new version of You Don't Know Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a very goofy, trivia game. And the trivia is like, the questions can be very hard.
Yeah.
And, they will like word things so that you kind of have to like figure out what they're talking about before mm-hmm. you can even decide on an answer. Like they'll be like, oh, if you know, this was called, if something was called this, then a good title for it would be A, B, C, or D. Mm-hmm. And it'll, you know, be based off of the question, like a word in the question, like you have to know what that word meant. I don't know how to explain
That's
it.
That's the most confusing
I know, that
I've
was
ever.
Very confusing, and I don't know how to explain it, though.
It's a trivia game.
Yeah, I wish I could think of an example question, but I can't.
It's all right. It's a solid trivia game. It's no Trivia Murder Party, but it's pretty good.
You can also, like, screw the other players, like, they call it, like, screwing. So then, like, it'll, like, mess with them. Like, sometimes you have to, like, hold your phone upside down, or you'll have to, like, type in a password really fast or something before you can answer.
And yeah.
It's fun. I enjoy it. I just, honestly, I just kind of wish the questions weren't as difficult as they are.
Yeah, they are tough.
Then there's what I think was your favorite, Patently Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was kind of iffy on this one whenever I first, like, saw the list of games, but once I actually played it with a group, it was really fun.
Especially if you present yourself.
Yeah.
That's the best.
It's Shark Tank.
Yep.
But they, like, you get, like, a prompt of, like, here's a problem, like, do the players come up with the prompts?
At the very beginning, everybody comes up with the prompts. Three problems. It'll say, like, in the way it'll do it is, it'll be like, give me a noun, and it'll say, I need to climb, and then someone put Stevie. Like, yeah. You know, or just like, I need to do blank.
Yeah.
And so you fill it in, and then it randomly sends those questions out to different people, and all of you compete to see who has the best solution to those different problems.
Yeah.
You know? And so you have to make inventions to solve those problems. And the way you do make the inventions is you draw a picture of it, you give it a title, and you give it a tagline. And then eventually when you present it, you can either have the game just kind of present it for you on the screen, or you can present yourself and do, like, your
Which
own little spiel
fun.
In front of everyone. And
you're just,
great.
Like, presenting to a boardroom of, like, your drunk friends. It's very fun.
Yeah. Climb Stevie was great. Yours was probably my favorite, which was just, you were like, all right, here's this one. And it just had a smiling face as the picture, and it was just, leave the boy alone. That was your invention. And mine was, a hole for Stevie. Don't climb him. Just put him in a hole.
I think Stevie's was, a spear. Just kill me with a spear. Which I thought was pretty fun. That one's really fun. I like it a lot. I want to play that one some more.
I think you'd have to have, like, a lot of people, though. I think it'd probably be hard if you only had, like, four people.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't know. With four people would be pushing it. Four people, it'd be interesting to see how that went with four people.
Yeah.
Then the last one is one that I think will probably get played the least. And it's called Zeeple Dome.
Yeah, we didn't even play that one, did we?
No, I wanted to, but we never did.
Yeah.
It's a very different way to play a Jackbox game that they've never done before, where instead of, like, inputting answers, like, you have, like, a control on your phone, and I know that there's similar things like this in other games, but I can't think of an example, but you'll, like, it's a little bit like Angry Birds, I guess, where you're pulling back and, like, releasing a ball, and then it will, on the screen, like...
So it's like an actual video game rather than
it's a party game, but, like, you're not putting in answers. It's just, like, actually kind of a competition.
Weird.
And I think, like, the premise is, like, it's some sort of alien TV game show.
Mm-hmm.
But that one you can play by yourself, and so, honestly, that's the only way I've played it so far, was just by myself. And it was pretty interesting, and, like, I could see it being entertaining, but I don't think it'll ever be as, you know, enjoyable as Patently Stupid or Mad vs. City.
Yeah, I like the TV games that make it feel like, I don't know, like a game show or like a board game or something closer to that.
That's what's great is about Jackbox is, like, I don't buy a ton of board games, and when I do, I can't get anyone to play them with me.
Yeah.
But with Jackbox, it's so great because, like, it's pretty easy to like get the general concept. It's on the screen and everyone has their phone and you don't have to download anything, which is where Sony's stuff gets bad. 'Cause then you're like, hey, welcome to my house. Downloaded this app so we can have fun. Download an app. It's like, no, you don't want people to have to do that. You just go onto the browser and then you can connect instantly. And it's just fun 'cause everybody gets to just make stupid jokes.
Yeah, it's also great, too, because, like, I think a lot of people, like, I noticed this at your party as well, and at ones that I've done with Jackbox games, it's, like, when people, if people look at it and they're like, oh, this looks kind of dumb, or I don't, this isn't for me. Once they watch everyone else do it, they're like, oh, I could do that. That's really fun.
And, or they'll see the prompts and they will think of something and be like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I could totally, cause I remember that's how it was at your house. Like I was like, Addison wants to play these Jackbox games. I don't know. And we went there and I was like, I'm not into this. But once I saw people start, I remember once I saw everybody play, Quiplash for the very first time, I was like, okay, everyone kept putting cuck as the answer. I was like, okay, this is great. Like, I could get into this.
Yeah. They're so much fun. And I coming into Party Pack 5, I was a little nervous and like was like, I don't know, should I even buy this? Because Party Pack 4 was so rough.
It was bad,
yeah. And but Party Pack 5 is great. Yeah. I really, really like it.
And $30 is kind of an investment too. It's like you need to know whether you're gonna like it or not. That's what's hard.
And I mean, I give it a buy it because it's
solid.
Instead of buying a board game or something, you could just buy this. Yep. And you know, especially on the Switch, you can just take it with you. So yeah. Jackbox Party Pack 5,
mm-hmm.
Buy it. It's fun.
Cool.
And then the other game that we have to talk about is a review for both of us because we've both been playing it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's Windjammers. You can play Windjammers on your Switch now.
You can get a Windjammers and put it on your Switch.
Some Windjamming on your Switch.
But I was thinking about it, and I bet there's a lot of people who have never played Windjammers.
Oh, definitely.
A lot.
I like said something about Windjammers at work the other day, and my buddy was like, what is Windjammers?
Yep.
And I like tried to explain it to him, and I could tell that he was like, yeah.
The way I always explain it to people is I just always say, Super 90s, over-the-top Pong.
Yeah, like, basically. But like I was just like, yeah, just next time you're over, we'll play it. And he came over on Friday night, and I was like, okay, here's a controller. Like, let's play Windjammers. And like I had to like kind of slow down a little bit because I was like, oh, I'm just destroying him.
Yep.
And then so I like was trying to show him how to do stuff, and then like after a few minutes, like we were having real games where I was like, oh, okay, like you pick this up now, you get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I played with Mitzi. I was playing the other night and she was having trouble, but then like after like three or four games, she like whooped me.
Yeah, it's easy to pick up, hard to master.
So it's like a frisbee. It's basically
it's an old Neo Geo game.
Yeah, it's an old Neo Geo game, so it's an arcade game. But I think it feels super fresh because most people haven't played it, but also it's like infinitely replayable. Like anytime you could like whip this game out and play it with your friends.
Definitely.
It feels kind of like a fighting game, kind of like a sports versus game.
It's one of those games that isn't a fighting game, but is a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also, it's not like those hamster Neo Geo releases that came out for like $8. This is like, they put in work into this game and like they updated like the visuals a little bit and like kind of
has different
them
filters
up. Like they like have the music on there from like the Neo Geo CD version of the game, and like there's different filters and like borders that you can put on. You can play the mini games separately, and they added online multiplayer.
Yep. They redid the menus and stuff.
Anything that you can probably think of that you would want them to add to an old arcade game, they did.
I also love the different difficulty options, because like because I always found that it was really hard for me to play the arcade version, like just single player, to practice, because I would just get wrecked, you know, by the CPU. But playing on easy, it was a way better way to ease me in. And they have a how to play section now too.
Yeah, that's
right. Helps
a
lot because it teaches you really quick.
And the actual game mechanics of Windjammers, you pick a character and they just have two different stats. It's like how fast they are and how hard they throw, and then you are on
how fast they are and how hard they are.
Then you're on a court and you each have like a goal, like kind of, you know, soccer style.
Yeah.
And you know, one part of the goal will be 3 points, another part will be 5, and it's usually like three different areas of the goal. And then you have a frisbee and you're throwing the frisbee trying to get it into your opponent's goal, but you have a dash so you can dash over and grab the disc before it goes into your goal.
Someone throws it at you, you can also block it and knock the frisbee up in the air and charge like a super move.
Yeah, and then but you've got different ways you can do your super. You can just do a regular super, or you can curve your super, or you also have a button to just toss the disc.
Yeah,
and like sometimes that'll throw them off,
which is always really fun. Whenever you get like it gets so hyped, and then you're just like whoop, and you just kind of just do a little toss right onto the ground.
Yeah, the toss can be very like dangerous though, because that can be a good way to open them into a super. But again, it's like it's super basic but so hard to master and so fun. And it's, you know, we say this about a lot of games on here, but it's like one of those quintessential examples of like, here's a Joy-Con, let's go.
Yep.
Especially since like this is a game where you don't have to use the shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
But man, Windjammers is one of my favorite video games of all time.
Yeah, and it's this so good.
It's so nice to have it on the Switch.
Yeah.
It's a perfect fit.
It's $15.
Yeah, $15.
Yeah. That was what was crazy to me is like, I gladly would have paid $25 for this. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of this game.
Yeah.
Especially for $15. And the online multiplayer, I've played, one issue with the online multiplayer is it can be hard to find a match. And I don't know if that's because people aren't playing it online or if it's because of the way the matchmaking works. Because the way the matchmaking works is it'll search for like 10 seconds and then it'll make you hit X to search a broader area around you. And I kind of wish I would just search for a game in the broadest area possible from the start.
Yeah.
Because usually once I've expanded the area 3 or 4 times, I've been sitting there for, you know, 30 seconds to a minute and then I find a match and everything's fine. But like,
yeah, you've had better luck with finding matches than I have. Mm-hmm. I've also like maybe not tried as hard because like on the PS4, like I've let like I it's this is basically the same version as the yeah. PS4 one. I have let it just sit there before and sit and just never find an really? Opponent. Like on PS4, I was able to find opponents like the week that it came out,
mm-hmm.
but ever since like I just can't find anybody.
Yeah.
So I've had a hard time finding players, but it sounds like you haven't had as hard of a time.
I mean, obviously, I'm playing it the week it came out, and you, like you yeah. just said, you know, you found some that week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, here in, like, a month from now yep. if you can still find players.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll probably...
But that's not the game's fault.
No. And whenever I have a game that's like that, like Fast Racing Neo, I love to race online, but it's hard to find players. I always wait and see. If I see it go on sale, I hop online. Or yeah. if I see, or if it's like a holiday, I'll hop online. Or if it's a weekend, like if I really want to play something and it's like a Friday night or a Saturday night, I'll hop on and usually I can find someone to play with.
Yeah.
But yeah, that stinks.
Which it's one... so, I wish, like, I think it's only looking for players in the United States. And so I wish it would like look
mm-hmm.
like further out because Windjammers has such a huge scene in France.
Yep.
Like, if you could, like, yeah, look gigantic. In France, I feel like you would always find someone.
Yep, absolutely.
But also, they would probably just destroy me.
And it might also be the fact that it might also be some lag, because I haven't had too much of a problem with it, but I have had a couple of laggy matches, you know, not that many, though.
And they also said that there's going to be a patch coming mm-hmm. out on Tuesday, so probably by the time you're hearing this, the patch will be out.
Yeah. Because this version, the Switch version, also has wireless multiplayer. If you both own the yeah. game, you can play.
Which is very nice. Yeah, I like that they've got that.
Also, it has, I forgot to say this too, if you're having trouble with the online multiplayer, this is good news for you and I, you can do a custom match.
Yeah.
And it just has a room code. It's like a 5-letter code. It's like, you know, ABXYY or something like that. And then you just text that to your friend and they can hop online and join your room really easily.
Yeah.
So that's nice if you, you know, want to play with a friend and they also own the game. You don't have to, you know, keep trying to do matchmaking stuff, but
yeah, yep. I absolutely love Windjammers. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yep.
If you've never played it, you know, I think you'll probably enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
I don't know about you, but I think it's essential.
Oh, I think it's essential too. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially for the Switch. If it was a PS4, I'd say, yeah, it's really good. But for the Switch, I just think like, it's one of those games you should just have around to pass a Joy-Con off to someone.
We have 4 reviews today, and it's 3 essentials and a buy.
I know. That's crazy. Nuts. Yeah, it's nuts. I just feel like there's been a lot of good stuff lately.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. I was thinking about that as we were going to the show. I was like, I think we're going to have a lot of essentials in this episode, and that usually just we only have like 1 per episode, if that, so that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But,
Man. Yeah, I really like Windjammers.
All right, Addison, time for questions. You ready?
Yeah.
Got a couple from Halloween Wheels. So Harlequin Wheels said, and this is pretty fun, been re-listening to old episodes and like 34 minutes into Pocketoid SP2. Holy cow, that was like back in 2014. Yeah.
Remember when we were calling it SP?
Yeah, and we were just like, no.
That was a cute idea.
Yeah, no. And like 34 minutes into Pocketoid SP2, Addison says, Smash Ultimate Arena Remix Edition, and Jordan predicts the NX will be 1 connected handheld console unit. Not really a question, but just wanted to mention, that seems like a wild coincidence. Yeah, we get that a lot from people. We've been pretty good on our predictions over time.
I think there have been some rumors out about what the NX would be, though.
No, not at that point. 2014? No?
Oh, okay.
Because my guess, because what I was thinking, I remember, was I was thinking, like, they're probably going to want to do what the Wii U did, but without all the down or shortcomings of the Wii U, which is, you know, I want to play this handheld, but I have to play it in my living room. Hopefully the signal works all the way to my couch. But anyway. Then Harlequin Wheels also asked, okay, here's some questions. Were the two cans of SpaghettiOs just plain, or were they like meatballs and hot dog slices? Have you eaten SpaghettiOs since?
What?
I think I know what this is in reference to. So I think this is in reference to the fact that I told a story a long time ago on an old episode where after I got in a really bad car wreck, I'd got out of the hospital. All right, I'd been there for like 12 days. I ate two cans of SpaghettiOs because I was 17, and it ripped it. It just did some damage to my insides, and it was real bad. We won't go into all that, but it was just regular SpaghettiOs. And to this day, I can't eat SpaghettiOs ever again. And
not
so,
not a big loss.
Yeah, well, I loved them back then, and I just can't do it anymore. And so it was just regular SpaghettiOs, but you know, with meatballs.
I never like was super into SpaghettiOs, but the Chef Boyardee can ravioli.
Boy, I was all over those too.
Super into that.
I think in high school I survived on like SpaghettiOs and those ravioli exclusively.
Yeah, those raviolis are good. I'd have like that and like a grilled cheese.
Yeah, and I remember when I was 17 and I could just eat trash 24/7 and just look fine. And now if I have one cookie, I gain 30 pounds. also, Harley Quinn Wheels asked, what weapon and hunting style combos have you been running with in Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate?
Oh, I think I'm doing Switch Axe Striker.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah. I also hear that Switch Axe Valor is a lot of fun because you can just swing it infinitely, just like back and forth. I'm always Charge Blade 24/7 in Monster Hunter just because that weapon just clicks with me really well, and I always find it really fun to use, and I'm always learning. It's difficult to master, so I'm always finding more things to learn with it. And I am playing Switch Axe Valor right now in Ultimate because I just love that mechanic of when you go to sheathe your Switch Axe and you build that red meter, eventually you unlock, like, when your red meter fills up, you just can go crazy. And it's like, as soon as I hit that red meter, if I have my Switch Axe fully charged, I can just take a monster out like really, really quick, and it's great. But I also love Switch Axe Aerial as well because you can just dunk on
dudes. Aerial styles are so cool.
Yeah, dunk is.
I love that.
Aerial was a lot of fun. When I played the first generations, I was Aerial the whole time, and I just constantly dunking on guys.
To do like a, I mean, I wouldn't want to solo with it, but I kind of want to do like a bow Aerial.
Oh, I wonder. Because you can just jump. I think with that one, you can just jump over them and like fire arrows into like their back.
That seems really fun.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I don't know. I've always done Charge Blade, but I've also played Sword and Shield, and I've played Dual Blade.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right.
That's all the stuff. That's all the questions that we have. And unless you put a thing out on Facebook, but I think we just did.
No.
We just did Twitter this week. So cool. Yeah, that's it. How many games came out recently, Addison?
A few.
Yeah, just a couple.
Stupid. Oh, that dumb Aqua TV thing.
Yeah. What, is it just a fish tank?
Yeah, put a fish tank on your screen.
Cool.
Did you see the one that I like tweeted about that was just like a personality quiz?
Good lord.
Come on, Nintendo.
Yeah, for real. This is a game that I also want because I played the freeware version of it, and it's a lot of fun. It's just like an arcade game. It's called
a lot of chess.
Called Eternum EX. Yeah. So I kind of want to play Eternum EX. But yeah, Dark Souls just came out. But hey, I bet that plays just like Dark Souls.
I almost picked that up because I saw like an Amazon deal on it for like $25.
Whoa, on the Switch version?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dang, I wish I had seen that.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a price error or what.
Yeah, that definitely is a price error for sure. And then, yeah, so not a ton of stuff right now.
Let's other than Windjammers. Soon.
What's coming? What's hitting that coming soon section?
I can't believe that they have not had Taiko on the coming soon yet. So I'm trying to figure out how much they're going to charge for that.
Oh, man. Mr. Taco. Save Me, Mr. Taco is coming soon.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, that's that Game Boy looking game.
Yeah.
It's on sale right now for 30% off for pre-release.
Gal Metal looks cool.
This Skyscrapers game, I'm interested in. It's a platform fighter like Smash or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to see if we can get a review copy for that. Yeah, Gal Metal looks awesome.
I'm very into that.
Yep.
I will Maybe that's what I'm going to use my coins for.
This game, Yomiwari, I've heard really good stuff about.
This is like two games, isn't it?
Yeah, it's two. And yeah. they were horror games, and they were on the Vita.
I like the art style.
Yeah, I love it. And so I'm kind of interested in that, but, you know, it's going to hit the 30th, and that's like... But I hate whenever horror games release, like, on Halloween. I'm like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, I play these all month. It's like, if you do that, I'm not going to get a chance to play it before December. Oh, crap. Oh, no, Addison.
Yeah, yeah.
The Steven Universe game comes out on the 30th.
That double pack where it's got the OKKO game with it, too.
Okay, well, maybe there will be a game that I buy then, because I'm probably going to get that Steven Universe game.
I think OKKO looks really cool. I love art style much. It's a new Cartoon Network show.
Well, I know that, but, like, what is the game? Like,
oh, I think it's also an RPG.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I will look at that double pack then. Dang, man.
The Transistor port.
Comes out. Diablo 3 comes out. But
what's that anime-looking thing up there? What was that? The Data Boy?
Oh, I'm sure it's
Data Boys. Yeah, Data Kitty Boys. Love.
What? What? I gave out some good screenshots. Everyone needs to go and look at Kitty Love, Way to Look for Love, and just look at the series of screenshots.
Let me read those words that were there. To break the curse is to kiss your true love?
Your true love?
Your love bloom.
Let your love bloom. I want to be a cat. Odd-eyed black cat caught on this casual thought and was cursed to be a cat poem? Only at night. The fantasy romance of human by day and cat by night.
This game has been recorded with the popular voice actors. I'm not even going to read those.
Enjoy the fully recorded voice throughout the story.
To have a true love's kiss.
Wow. So you play as a person who turns into a cat at night.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you do.
That's good.
This looks like... Yeah, this is bad.
Keep going down. Also, Moonlighter comes out on the 5th.
Yeah, jeez. I want that game.
World of Final Fantasy on the 6th.
Okay. Rogue Legacy. Rogue Legacy is real good.
Okay, I guess Astabreath comes out on the 8th. Man, I guess a few games are coming out, huh? Just a couple. Dude,
keep going. We didn't see everything.
I don't want to keep going. I don't want to have to see all the things I have to buy. There's SMK 40th anniversary.
My Riding Stables Life with Horses.
Good lord.
My Riding Stables. My Riding Stables, Jordan! Yeah, this SNK collection looks real good.
And I know it's like a lot, but it's also like...
There's a lot of stuff on
here, $40 for a lot of games.
Yeah. Can you click on My Riding Stables?
No.
Please click on My Riding Stables. Make your dream... Mm.
What's the description? Make your dreams come true on the stud farm. That was a good look.
Near the old mill. Renovate your own riding school. Look after your horses and tend the cute little foals as well as wonderful hacks.
What?
What? Hack your horse?
Hack your horse.
Working in the stables and caring for the horses. You'll have plenty of other exciting things to do.
I just pictured a robot horse with the Cyberpunk 2077 logo on it.
What? You just talk about breeding these horses? That's gross. I don't want to watch no horse sex.
Well, let's see what those screenshots look like.
Oh, bad. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they look real bad.
You guys remember PS2?
Yeah.
What about a bad PS2 game? This looks okay. Buddy, that looks okay where you spray the horse with a hose. I don't know much about horses, but do you just spray them with hoses?
This is definitely either a 3DS port or a
mobile port.
Mobile port, yeah.
Ooh, look at the background shed. Oh, wow. $30, huh?
30 whole bucks.
Doing 30 on that one.
Yep.
All right.
30 whole damn dollars. Noir Chronicles. City of Crime. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. It's pre-rendered. I was like, that looks very pretty.
It's an old PC game.
Yeah. There's a bunch of those that have been coming to the Switch, actually. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Walking Vegetables. That was one of the games I played at PAX.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. That was all right.
Was it? Oh, yeah. I remember seeing this at PAX.
The twin stick shooter.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember seeing that.
That looks all right.
I like that a lot. $13. Dude, Astabreed, I might have to buy because I love that game on PC a lot. You play as... It's a shooter where you play as mechs.
That looks cool.
And it's a lot of fun.
It looks very anime.
Yeah, it's very good. So I might have to...
Ooh, look at that.
Pick that up.
Look at that Darling in the Franks looking girl and her bad face.
Anyway, yeah, some games are coming out, I guess. Damn it, I really want to buy Moonlighter, but not for $25.
I know. That game does look really good, though.
It does look really good.
I watched some stuff on it and... Yeah. Man, I thought I was going to have a hard time figuring out what to use my gold coins on, but I don't think I'm going to.
Hey, can we just say, hey, Square Enix, thanks for making Final Fantasy $40 instead of $60. I appreciate that, because it was a Vita game first.
Yeah.
And $40 is very reasonable for that. Whereas I would not, because like I fully expected to look at that and be like, oh, it's $50 or $60, but $40 is reasonable.
It's again, it's weird to me and also very troubling.
Sky Time.
What? It's just a jetpack game?
I don't know. It's $3.
Save your family after a horrible accident with both a boomerang wrench.
Really bad.
Oh, I don't know what else you use.
I don't want to see that, Patterson. Okay, what were you saying though?
It's very odd to me that Taiko Drum Master comes out Friday,
mm-hmm.
and I have yet to see it on the coming soon, and it makes me very nervous that it is not actually coming out Friday, and just no one has said anything yet. Mm. I'm hoping it still comes out Friday, but it's just not there.
Oh, God.
I don't know why it wouldn't, though. Like, it's... I mean, like, you can just buy the Japanese one and, like, have it in English now.
Where's the double pack for Save the Light and OKKO? Is it just,
I think
like,
it might be only physical.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder how much that is. Probably 60, huh?
I think it might be 50.
50? I might have to talk to you about that.
Gal Metal. I want that.
Yeah, Galmetal looks cool. Hey, I bet our listeners love hearing me click around the eShop, but we should probably close this out.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Next episode, Retro Force Go Gaiden, I guess.
We're going to talk about Retro Force Go Ultimate Hyper Edition.
So please send in questions.
Yes.
But other than that, have a good Halloween.
Yep.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.